Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Show, where we talk to inspire. Please like, comment, follow, subscribe, and you can download for free. That way you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting, encouraging, and inspiring show. My guest today is star of stage, screen, Broadway, Hollywood, TV, movies, all that good stuff. Ellia English, and many of you may know her from the Jamie Foxx show as Aunt Helen. And she's here today to tell us about her life, her backstory, how she made it to Hollywood, how she's still there, and her new web series that she stars in. So welcome to the show, Ellia English. Now, as we continue this conversation, Miss Ellia English, you were on Broadway. You were in New York. That's where you had started your professional career. And you've done plays like Ain't Misbehavin' and so on. Now, and Ma Rainey. So how did you go from New York to going to California, ending up in Hollywood and doing TV and getting the gig on the Jamie Foxx show as Aunt Helen? How did you end up on the Jamie Foxx show?
Great story, great story. Look at you. I love going down memory lane. I mean, great question. And I love telling these stories because it's helping me remember. Okay, let's see. How did I get there? So, of course, I was doing a lot of guest starring roles. And then I got to do Martin. Martin Lawrence. I was on Martin Lawrence's show. I was Mrs. Booker. He was constant. The first time he was like, Mrs. Booker, put your shoe back on, you know, that kind of thing. Mrs. Booker was always taking her shoe off, ready to conk someone over the head with it. So one of the producers of Martin was producing the Jamie Foxx show. And so they called my agent and they were having the casting call for the Jamie Foxx show. And they had me come in and audition for it. Now, I wasn't sure that anything would come of it for me because I was noticing, and it was really like an open call this time, but open call with people who were union members. And I wasn't sure that I was going to get it because the actresses were much older than I was that were there. And so I thought, okay, I'm still going to audition because I love Jamie. I saw Jamie on In Living Color. I saw Jamie on Rock. And then I saw his HBO special where he was like singing and playing the piano. So I was excited about possibly being a part of that cast. So I auditioned for it. And then, you know, after a while, they do the process of elimination and they get it down to the few actresses that they're looking at seriously. And so I'm in there with, you know, on pins and needles and nervous because I'm looking around me and it's like all of these people look more like they are his auntie. But I had taken a photo. I'd done a print ad where I had dressed up and I looked much older in the photo than I did when I was auditioning. And so when I went in to do the audition, this was the last callback, and I auditioned with Jamie. I got to read the script and he was like, well, first we're going to read the script and then I'm going to go off the script and I want you to just follow me. And I said, okay. So we did the script first. And then when he went off the script, I had the best roller coaster ride following him and him following me. It was so much fun. But then they were saying, well, you know, is there a way, you know, you can age us? And I happened to have had that photo on me. And I said, yes. And I showed him the photo. I said, this is me. They went, that's not yes. I said, this is me. And I think that may have put, I just thought about that one, giving me that little bit of a leg up that I can look much older. So even though I wasn't old enough. So after the audition, of course, I still wasn't sure. And, you know, you get the look from those other actresses going, ah, get out of here, kid. You know, this is. And so when I got the call from my agent, you know, at first he wasn't sounding like I got the job. So I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe we can. You know, we'll go and try for something different. And he said, no. What I'm trying to tell you is you book the job. I started screaming and crying at the same time. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I still was pinching myself. I mean, especially by the time we got together to shoot the pilot and they had cast Garrett Morris playing my husband, whom I watched with in Saturday Night Live, one of the originals. I call him my legend even to this day. I had Jamie there. I was getting to work with him, working with Christopher B. Duncan, who was playing Braxton, and Garcelle Bouvet, who was playing Fancy. It was a family. We were an instant family, and I think about it in five wonderful seasons. A blessing. You better make me cry. I can't cry.
That was a good wholesome family entertainment show, which we don't have too many of those today.
Amen. That's true. So true.
That was a blessing to be a part of that. And now you got a whole new following with this younger generation
that's able to
watch the reruns, so to speak.
Talk about a blessing.
It is truly, truly a blessing.
Yes.
And then you even worked with HBO and Curb Your Enthusiasm with that Larry David. Lord have mercy. That had to be something, an experience.
That was truly an awesome experience. I'll never forget the audition that I had for that one. And in the audition, I mean, everybody knew about Larry. I mean, please, Larry David, you hear that name and you're like, oh, Larry David, please. Yes, I call him the emperor of comedy because he knows how to take something that he himself knows. I have no business making fun of this, but I'm going to. But he'll take it and you just when you're going, oh, I cannot believe he did that. And before you know it, you're laughing your head off because he's taken a twist to it and he's made it so funny. I describe it as a kid that you've said to them, don't you dare step off that sidewalk. And what they do is they just take one foot and put it down off the curb. And then you get ready to punish them, but they'll do something so funny that you just let it go. What are you going to do? Because you're laughing at what they did and going, all right, they knew what they were doing, but that's all right. I'll get you the next time, that kind of thing. But he's so brilliant. And so when I had to audition for him, the script at that time, the size that we were using called for him to be tackled. I had to tackle him and I didn't want to do that. And he was like, look, don't hold back when it comes to for the tackle. You go ahead and you do the tackle. So I took him at his word. And when it came time for me to tackle, I took him down. The entire room burst into laughter, an uproar of laughter. But even when I got up, I was like, are you okay? Are you okay? And so I'm sure that might have had something to do besides the fact that it's a blessing to work with him. Now, remember, I'm the Bible Belt baby, grew up. My father was a pastor. He ended up having, churches and stuff. He became a pastor when I was 16, but he was still we were still church going, studying the word and all of that. So now here I am cast in a show, even though I had relatives all around me that was using swear words. Even when we were little, I heard my parents do them once in a while, but that was that lesson of do as we say, not as we do. So we would get in a lot of trouble if we ever tried to use swear words. So here I am. The first time we were doing that scene and I went in and I remember when I said, F you, Larry David, with your monkey, eh? And things of that nature. We were going on with that scene. And when we were done and they finally said, cut. Okay, we're moving on. When they said that, I found a room. There was this empty room. I went in and I closed the door and I sat in a chair and I was sitting there going, oh my goodness, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble. And I went, you're not going to get in trouble, Elia. That's not you. It's Auntie Ray. Auntie Ray's the one that's doing that. You not Elia doing that. And so I had to separate myself from that and say, yes, that's my acting. Just like Aunt Helen is not me, but each one of the characters, I give just a little bit of me and I take something, from them. So that's how I was able to just really enjoy playing that role. And then we had, J.B. Smoove, who was Leon, my nephew. We had Vivica Fox, who was Loretta, my niece. And we had Nick Gervais, who was Daryl, my grandniece, and Carla Jeffrey, who was Keisha, my grandnet. Nick was the nephew. Carly was my niece. And so we were the Blacks. We were this displaced family that had been, suffered a lot of a great loss in a hurricane. We were thinking about, Hurricane Katrina back then was happening. And so Larry and his wife, Cheryl, decided to take in a family. So they took in the Blacks, Auntie Ray Black and her niece and her grandniece and nephew. Now, my nephew, Leon Black, who's played by J.B. Smoove, who's brilliant. He wasn't displaced. He was already living in California. And when he learned that we were living at Larry David's house, he moved in with his family. And he's the character that still has never left.
you're right. I was watching that the other week. I'm like, J.B. Smoove still?
Yeah.
Right? So what did you find most challenging for you as an actor in this in this business, because, you know, as of late, we saw all this stuff about Taraji P. Henson and her talking about the money disparities between the people, actors of color. And it's been something else, hasn't it?
It has. My heart goes out to her, because once again, I'm not going to cry. But you're bringing me back to another. I met her when we had all kind of first landed here. And it was after I finished doing the Effie role in Dreamgirls. We were cast, oh gosh, I can't think of his name now, Tom Waters, but there was a Waters project and it was myself. Oh my goodness. It was a lot of kids who went on to do great things. We were all cast to do a reading of this project. And we all became quite good friends. We were sort of like a family, but then we know all went off on our different careers. So, but she's still like my baby sister to me. And when I saw that, it broke my heart, because with all of this, by the time I got to, where was I? In 2018, as a kid, I've always said, when my mom was saying to us, you know, guys, if I get old and I'm here and I can't help myself, do please, whatever you do, you don't put me in a home. And I said to my mom, oh, that's never going to happen. So in 2018, that time came for me to make sure my mom was taken care of. So I laid down my career. God had put me in a position, and I'm grateful for that, to where even though I was auditioning for a lot of things, I wasn't booking them. And then I said, okay, that would be, and I knew that would be my sign that I could go. And so I laid everything down. I told my managers, I told my agents, I'm going away. I have to go take care of my mom. I don't know when I'm going to return, but I'm laying all of this down, and that's where my focus is going to be. So from 2018, it was July of 2018, until May of 2020, that's all I was focused on.
And back then there was the pandemic.
That's right. Exactly. Can you believe it? And so, and I was her nurse. I learned how to dress wounds. I learned how to, and the beauty of that for me, Lynn, is that my mom never caught COVID. When my mom transitioned, my mom left on her own terms when she was ready. And I wanted to make sure that she was ready. And I told the family, it's time. It's time for us to let mom go. She had had both her legs were amputated, her quality of life. But prior to that, oh my goodness, that we were Ace Boon Coons. And I was making sure she got, you know, she was well taken care of. And I if I had the choice to do it all over again, I'd do it right now, you know. So now coming back into the industry, what brought me back really was Curb. I ended up, after mom transitioned, and I said, okay, I need to find myself again, because I was consumed with her. I consumed myself with her. Elia didn't exist. It was all about her. Even when I would take her to hospitals and some of the kids would recognize me, I would say to them, I appreciate you and I love you loving my work, but what my focus is right now is her. And I said, and I'd love for you guys, if you keep it quiet, that nobody else knows that I'm here and that we keep our focus on her. And that's what I wanted. And they respected me in that right. And of course, I made sure they got their autographs, but I just wanted to make sure that they would, you know, respect my mom, because it wasn't about me. It was not about me. It was about her. It was all about her. And so when she did transition, did I feel that loss? Oh my goodness. Woo, for me, that, you know, I lived and breathed nobody but her. And so I was trying to find Elia again, allow myself to grieve, however that I had to go through that. So when 2022 came around, I am an honorary member of Sigma Gamma Rho. It was our 100th centennial, and they invited me. They wanted me to come, and we went to Indianapolis, Indiana, where it was originally birthed. And I went out there, did a few workshops, and I said, I think that'll be a great way to sort of get my feet wet again, to go out, to be among people, to let them have photo ops, to talk, to teach, to just, you know, be a blessing, which is what I want to be always. And so when I did that, it was when I came back home that I learned that Curb Your Enthusiasm was looking for me. And it's their 12th season. And I was blessed to work on that in this 12th season. So now then I hear my beautiful Taraji P. Henson, that's, you know, and I hear this stories who should have been, yes, she should have been paid. I agree that she should have been, but it's a struggle, as you know, that we've had since trying to even get into this industry. And I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her courage. I'm proud of her work. And I don't want her to ever think that her work was in vain. And that, yes, she knows what her worth is and that she's now able to speak out about it. And so she's now become a pioneer to have other kids speak out, other newcomers, other people be able to know that I can ask for what I deserve, you know? Right. And she now knows she can ask for it. She has that right to ask for what she knows she deserves. She's paid her dues. She's spent it. But it's what I know for me. In this industry, yes, the money, it does that. How can we make a living? You know, it is what we do. It's our profession. So it is what I want, but I will be honest as well. And I'm not the only one. I'm sure it was Taraji as well. We also want to be a blessing. We also want to reach as many people. It's the gift that we've been entrusted. And I want to let God use it for his glory. Yes, I want to be paid fairly. Yes, I do. But I'm learning as I'm listening to her and as I'm listening even to Monique's story and I'm listening and I'm loving them that they are taking that stand. And it takes a lot of bravery to do that in this industry. A lot. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot. And it because at that point in time, you run the risk of, you know, jeopardizing your career. But if you find the people, when you find the right representatives who respect you, who respect what you do, because they're the ones who are negotiating for you.
Right,
because
you're not there in those negotiations.
You're not there to do the negotiations. So the question for me at this point goes, well, where was your representation?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And what did they think about you? Like, did they respect you enough? What did they think of your work?
What did they think of you? All right. So, yeah. My prayer is with her and she will be blessed. She is blessed and she will continue to be blessed. All of Monique, all of them, my prayer, because this is what I say. And I guess we can kind of have it. So let's have our final word. We're all God's children. And we all know the right thing to do. And because I love each and every last one of them, I believe that they're going to make it right.
All right. Then that is an excellent final word from Sister Elvia English. But what else you got coming up that we can look forward to? So let us know about that.
That I can talk about right now, it's kind of under wraps, but right, my sisters and me, that we did talk about that a little briefly, didn't we? So my sisters and me, it's a half hour comedy about three generations of vivacious, ageless Black sisters who must live under the same roof without killing each other. And I play me in my sisters and me. And so it airs on Thursdays at 8 p.m. on our YouTube channel. And that's where they can go. They can either type in Elvia English and My Sisters and Me, or they can go to my Facebook page, officially Elvia English, or my X, which used to be Twitter page, officially Elvia English, or my Instagram, which has to be Queen Elvia English. And I post every Thursday just to remind them. And we do them as little short webisodes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minute webisodes. And we are doing 13. This past Thursday, we premiered the webisode 8. And so next Thursday will be webisode 9. But if you go on and start watching it, from 1 through 8 is already available. You can watch it now and you'll be caught up so that when Thursday comes, you'll know what to expect. So that's what's happening now.
Oh, she's so, so sweet. And I want to thank you too, audience, for joining us today. Make sure that you subscribe right now. You can hit that subscribe button so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting, encouraging, and inspiring show. Now, if you'd like to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on X, which is formerly Twitter, at Lynn Woods, that's LINWOODS, or Instagram or TikTok at Lynn Woods 96, or Facebook or LinkedIn at just Lynn Woods. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Show, where we talk to inspire. I'm Lynn. Until next time, God bless.